And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. In ways he was ministering to Eli, but first and foremost, even though he's a child, he's a man in understanding. He's a child in years, a child in body, but a man in understanding. He understands, for example, that the service he can render in the house of God is rendered to the Lord. He ministered unto the Lord before Eli. He doesn't leave Eli out. No, not in any way. But primarily, Samuel is there for his encounters, his sacred encounters with God. Further in verse 1, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. That means the presence of the Lord wasn't openly manifested. In the days of Moses, with the tabernacle in the wilderness, the pillar of cloud and fire that we sometimes call the Shekinah glory was manifested by day and by night to the children of Israel for all their weary and rugged ways in the wilderness. The Lord was there. But in Samuel's day, there was no open vision. The tabernacle was there, yes, but no sign whatsoever of the presence of God. Verse 2, and it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. Eli struggled for a long, long time with failing eyesight. All the time he's getting worse, until at last in chapter 4, after the passage of years, I believe he can't see a thing. Sight's gone completely. Not an easy thing to get old. I've had to say to the Lord myself, Lord, I haven't come this way before. The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. But already this problem was there. His eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And there the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. Oh, I praise God for the speaking voice of the Lord. When you're praying for these meetings and praying for future meetings here in the house of God, just you pray along those lines. You may, of course, pray for other things as well, rightly so. But include this in your praying. Let us hear, Lord, thy speaking voice. There it is in verse 4. The Lord called Samuel. And he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I call not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again. Samuel, what was the voice of the Lord like? You've read this chapter before, and you know the story. Some of you have taught Sunday school as well. Very likely, it was a Sunday school lesson, and the lesson was based on the Lord speaking to the child Samuel. Did you ever think of what the voice of the Lord might sound like? I think it's right to say, you know, everyone present tonight, or most of those who are present, and you not only know, but you could close your eyes, and if you hear the voice, you could say, oh, I know who that is. You know the voice of The persons who are here tonight, you've heard them, you've talked to them so many times, of course you know their voice. Well, here is communion with the Lord. He has a voice, distinctively. It's the Lord, you could say. But when you come to the end of the journey, your soul is about to take its flight of all that belongs to this world. I do believe you'll hear his voice. And although, unlike Samuel, you haven't heard his voice yet in the normal way, you will recognize in an instant. You may not say it in the company of dear ones who may be present, but you'll certainly be saying it in your heart. Oh, I do believe it. And you will say, it's the Lord, and I'm ready to go. We recognize his voice. And you may ask the question, I wonder what his voice sounds like. Samuel could have said later, I heard his voice over and over that night. You may be sure Samuel would have said, although a wee boy here, just a wee boy, he could say, when he was an old man, when I was little, I heard the voice of the Lord. And when I hear it again, when I go hence from this world to meet him, I'll recognize the voice. That's the very same voice. Because the Lord has distinctively a voice. And we'll know it when we hear it. But we still wonder, just what does it sound like? Some people have a very deep voice, rich and full. Others, getting nearer to the tenor sound, can scale the heights, and some have a gentle voice. Some have a gentle voice so that one word nearly just about says it all. Could the Lord's voice be like that? Study the people in the Bible who heard the Lord speaking to them. Now, that's an interesting theme. And you could follow that up and get a hold of the experience of some others who in their lifetime heard the Lord speaking to them. A matchless privilege. Moses often heard that voice. The mother of Samson heard that voice. And she was able to say to her husband later on when the Lord came back again, the man who spoke to me in the field before, he's waiting out there again today. She recognized once more, it's the same man. It's the same voice. She heard his voice. And Samuel, a wee boy, hears the voice of the Lord. We're going to hear it too, as they say. And even in that great day when the trumpet sounds, we'll be hearing it. You'll hear it. Glory to God. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. I'll hear it. You will hear it. Isn't that something to be going on with? Oh, there it is. He ran on to Eli, verse 5. He said, you've called me. He said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, verse 6. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I. The old man was trying to get to sleep. There are people, don't speak to them when they're trying to get to sleep. Their patience is short. Don't speak to me now. Speak to me in the morning. I'm trying to sleep. Do we think we can recreate that scene? So, there it is, verse 6. Lord called yet again. I'm glad the Lord kept on calling. And many times did the Lord call you before you were saved? Could it be that you went on for some years under conviction of sin, miserable in sin, knowing full well you needed the Lord, and you were not going to come to the Lord? The Lord was speaking to you. Aren't you one with me tonight when I say I'm glad that the Lord didn't give up on us? That he who spoke before is speaking again. And my prayer is, Lord, you've spoken before, come and speak again. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst. He's arguing now. Thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Then comes the explanation. The Holy Spirit enters this explanation in the chapter, verse 7. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. No wonder he didn't recognize the voice. He didn't know the Lord. There are people, friends of yours, who don't know the Lord yet. May the Lord help us pray for them. And if the opportunity comes, give us grace, Lord, to take that opportunity. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. A wee boy ministering to the Lord, verse 1, but he doesn't know the Lord. Could be people in Olden Broad somewhere teaching Sunday school and they don't know the Lord. There could be some in Norfolk, yes, quite probable, seeking to minister to the Lord, but they don't know the Savior. You can't rightly minister to the Lord if you don't know him. A man has no business being in the ministry if he doesn't know the Lord. If he can't say, the Lord has saved me, let me tell you my testimony. Let me tell you what the Lord has done for my soul. If a man doesn't yet know the Lord, really he has no errand. He has no business being in the pulpit. In England, in Northern Ireland too, anywhere you look in the world, there are people in the pulpit somewhere. I can't see into their heart, but the Lord does. We're just taking the law of average here. Somebody there in the church or this church or that church don't know the Lord. The word of the Lord is not yet revealed unto them. And verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again, the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. Now the penny dropped. It's late at night, Eli is weary. He's looking to sleep. But the penny drops. And let's give the man credit for that. Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel remembered the advice. And Samuel answered, speak, he said, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. You see, if we were speaking to a larger congregation tonight, we could be sure there's somebody there who isn't saved. We could say, yes, there are sins there in your life, and you know them. You know about them. There are sins in Eli's life, and he knows about them. And God is drawing our attention to that. For the iniquity which he knoweth, there are lots more to be said, lots more to be said concerning his sins that he doesn't know about. But for the sins he knows, yes, he is guilty. Because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore, I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. Samuel's heart must have missed a beat at that point. The fear he had was growing. Not that Eli would be menacing, but Samuel knows the significance of what the Lord has said to him. He feared to show Eli the vision. And Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also. If thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan, his possessions away up there in the north, in the foothills of Mount Hermon, Dan, the most northerly point in the inhabited part of the land of Israel, and likewise Beersheba is the southernmost important city in the southern part of that land. So the whole country from north to south knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. That wee boy, as he was at the start in Shiloh, ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, gradually rises to manhood. And he was established to be prophet of the Lord, God's man. Verse 21. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. I mentioned this verse on the Lord's day in the morning service. The reappearance of the Shekinah glory in Shiloh. The Lord appeared again. The Lord has come back. The Lord revealed himself to Samuel. Before that, the word of the Lord wasn't revealed. And now things have changed. Samuel's saved. He's a child of the king. and the Lord hath revealed himself. You know, that's your prayer tonight, surely. Lord, come by, even as we try to read this chapter. Come and reveal thyself. That's what makes the meeting heaven on earth. To say, the Lord revealed himself to me tonight through his word. Now, the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh. How? In the same way. You see it there? The same way, by the word of the Lord. That's how God's working these days. People claim to see angels and visions and all sorts of wonderful things. It's a distraction. I don't like to say it, but I fear it's a delusion. Because the Lord in this era has left to his people this legacy of his holy word. And the Lord is saying, we walk by faith and not by sight, not by seeing visions, not by seeing angels, not by sight, but by faith. Just taking the Lord at his word. That's God's will. That's how you'll grow as a Christian. How you'll get new strength. How you'll have the joy of God to feed and feast on the word of the Lord every day. That's the thing. We've read the chapter tonight. I trust it. Even the reading of the chapter will be meaningful and precious for you. We'll bow in prayer. Dear Lord, we need thee tonight. Give help. Oh, give help in a marvelous way tonight. Way, way, way beyond our anticipation and expectation. Lord, we sorely need thee to work in these days. We really need thy presence. It is our heart's desire, we have found it to be so as we have read this chapter, that the Lord himself, our dear Savior, might come by and reveal himself. The Lord, take us one by one. Our names are known to thee. There's not one present whose identity is obscured to thee. But, O Lord, come by. Reveal thyself. Pray for a dear lady here tonight. Aye, and for those not able to get tonight. Lord, come by and reveal thyself. It may be a surprise. There may be an exclamation of surprise saying, whoa! The Lord has revealed himself in his word to me. Lord, do it for the preacher too. To every man present in this house, as well as our sisters in Christ, just take us all together, Lord. Come by, reveal thyself. Lord, we can say in very truth, because it is our heart's desire to have the Lord come by, no matter how rare an occasion it might be, to have the Lord himself come by and reveal himself in his word. Lord, that's so precious. It is heaven come down to earth. Grant to this preacher preparation of heart and mind, the infilling of the Holy Spirit with wisdom and grace and power. Let the word of God run tonight, Lord. Defeat the devil. Let the word of God run in a free course and be glorified. Give guidance, Lord. Give wisdom. Give help in the understanding of thy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My text tonight is verse 17. If you can, put a marker in the chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 3. My text is in verse 17. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? There's more, of course. I pray thee, hide it not from me, and so on. Well, I want to look tonight at the start of verse 17. What he said. What is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I've already announced the subject. Announced it last night. I think I announced it also on the Lord's Day. that tonight, God willing, I would preach upon the one thing, the one question Samuel never wanted to hear. The one question Samuel did not want to answer. There it is in verse 17. What is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? It's Eli who's speaking. Eli asks the question. For God is speaking to the child. Samuel and Eli knows it. And he wants to hear the word of the Lord. You'll see in verse 1 of our chapter that Samuel is described as a child. So as yet, he hasn't grown up into adolescence, not even manhood. But he's just a child. We don't know his age. I have thought about this many a time. The Lord has concealed it. We don't know his age when his mother brought him to the house of God. He could have been 3.5. He could have been 7. He could have been 8 or 9. One thing I do keep in mind, that Eli is an old man. And to bring a wee boy to the tabernacle and leave him there is just not the thing that you would do to a toddler. He would have to be, this is how I reason it, the wee boy would have to be old enough to manage things for himself. Because it does say again and again that, you see there in verse 1, the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and he ministered unto Eli. It doesn't say, it does not say, ever Eli ministered unto him. That is to say, he would bring to him a cup of milk. He would bring him some bread that he would love. He would bring him a meal. It doesn't say Eli ministered unto that wee boy. That would be the expected thing. But it rather shows that it's Samuel who's ministering to Eli. So I reason he's old enough. He could be given great sense as a little lad. So he could be 7. He could be 8. Yes, he could be 10. The Lord hasn't enlightened us about that. And I have been praying before today about that matter. And I have thought, well, it could be that the Lord has left that detail to the side. Because in a service like this, a lady could have a grandchild. Maybe that grandchild's just 5 years of age. Another person will have maybe a grandchild, or it could be someone, some dear friend who has that wee child who's 10 and 11. And if the scripture said he was a boy of 5, the other friend who has a little boy in mind or a little girl who's 10 or 11 might think, oh, we're left out. So the Lord just left that blank. Because if there's a child in your life, doesn't matter what the age is. You see, the Lord can speak to the child. And the child is able, in this case, verse 1, to minister unto the Lord. And he's doing it before Eli, and to some extent, he's ministering to the old man as well. The old man's not looking after him. Samuel's described as the child. From chapter 1 after his birth right through to chapter 3. About 10 times. Quite remarkable. 10 times over. And the Lord would have you read about Samuel. He's the child. And I did say in the Lord's Day morning, we're going to look into the life and times of Samuel, concentrating particularly upon the early years. We can't do any better. when we say, here he is as a child. Out of all the people in the Bible, great servants of the Lord, men or women, no one else has their childhood examined and detailed to such a degree as Samuel. He is the child. And we don't know anybody else whose childhood is exhibited in the text the way this wee fellow is. Samuel. Oh, we love the Bible. The Bible's thrilling. There's so much in every chapter, in every book, in every inspired biography we have in the scriptures. And for Samuel, for a long time, he's the child. And nobody else's childhood is brought under scrutiny the way Samuel's life is. You taught maybe Samuel in the Sunday school class, but did you mention that? His childhood is examined at length. And it's a wonderful thing to follow through these references and study God's gracious dealings in the life of a child whose name is Samuel. Just to give an illustration, I say 10 times from the time he's born. Well, look at a few verses. Chapter 2, verse 11. And Elkanah went to Ramah, that's the family home, the town where they lived, to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Father and mother saying goodbye to him. That's a touching scene. He had to be a special child to suffer the loss of his mother and his father in that way. No, the parents didn't die, but to be separated like that, to leave him with the old man there in the tabernacle, God had to prepare that wee fellow's heart and give him grace to stand there and not cry his eyes out. He ministered to the Lord. That was his calling before Eli the priest. And then verse 18, same chapter. But Samuel ministered before the Lord. You see how the Holy Spirit, the real author of this book, he keeps bringing this to your notice. But a wee fellow who's engaged in ministering to the Lord. Whatever he did it for the Lord. That's what I would want you to do. That's what the Lord wants you to do. Whatever you would do here in the congregation, that you would say, Lord, let me do it for thee. Isn't that lovely? Even the humblest thing, picking up a hymn book, setting a chair or dusting it down, just any wee thing at all, you're doing it for the Lord. Now, that's the sort of thing the Lord notices. Do you see how the Lord notices it here? That in chapter 3, verse 1, we had the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 11, the child did minister unto the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 18, and Samuel ministered before the Lord. How many times has the Lord to tell us? There we read in chapter 3 of him opening up the doors in the morning. So the child by this time, by chapter 3, is old enough to get the doors open of the house of God. Maybe there's a spiritual lesson in that as well. We could say of Samuel the man, Samuel the prophet, he opened up the doors of the house of God that might have been in some sense closed before. Verse 21 of chapter 2, the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. So the entire family is made up of 4 boys and 2 girls, Samuel being the oldest naturally. And Samuel, the child, he grew. Here he is, you could see him growing up before the Lord. That's verse 21. And verse 26, when the child Samuel grew on, you could sense in that verse. A child going on. He represents the child of God. Going on, growing in knowledge and grace and faith. Can't you pray about that? Lord, let my faith grow in Scripture. Let my knowledge of Thee increase. Let my faith be the better of the time I spend with Thee. Precious time. Samuel grew on. He went on. He pictures the children going on with God. That would be a good question for me to address to you. Are you going on with the Lord? Maybe I haven't seen you. Say I met you and haven't seen you for 10 years. I would say, perhaps, I might say, are you going on with the Lord? Or that's the question that matters. Samuel grew on. He was going on with God and ministered and was in favor. Now God blessed him. There was something about him, magnetic, something that took your eye the second time. He was in favor both with the Lord. That's the most important place to carry favor in heaven. And also with men. People saw something in that wee fellow's demeanor. Saw something in his words, his attitude, his face, the way he did things. Doesn't it bless your heart, you know, God can work on a child in such a remarkable fashion as that. Back in chapter 1, verse 26. If we just try to sum up Samuel as a child, I would say, taking these words of his mother, chapter 1, verse 26, addressed to Eli, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman. As I say, we don't know what age he was when he was brought to the house of God. If we suggest, just for illustration only, that he was 7, suppose that were right for a moment, then that means if the boy is 7, Eli hadn't seen Hannah in 8 years or thereabouts. Allowing for all that belongs to the past. And she says in verse 26, she identifies herself. Did Eli forget her? She says, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I'm the woman. I'm the very person who stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. She doesn't rub it in. She could have said, you were nasty. You were far too hasty. You misjudged me. You judged me falsely. You accused me of being a drunken woman in the house of God. Oh, she could have railed on him, and maybe we have to say he would have deserved it. But such is her grace. I do not hesitate to say. Such is her readiness to forgive, for God has blessed her. I think that helps you to forgive somebody who has been nasty or unhelpful. And you felt the hurt through it all. If the Lord blesses you, He'll make it up to you. And that's how I view this place here, this place in the chapter 1. I'm the woman who stood by you here, right here. You see that word here? I think she's pointing out the very spot. Never forgot it. She could point out the very spot where her feet were placed. I'm the woman who stood here praying unto the Lord. Best of all, verse 27, for this child. And they pictured her the other night just pushing him forward a little bit. He's standing back beside his mother. And she pushes him forward a little bit. You see, this child here, for this child here, I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. God answered prayer, glory to his name. Therefore also, she explains, I have lent them to the Lord as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. And that's Samuel. That's Samuel the child. And I say, this is a key verse about Samuel the child. Or a group of verses. Showing that Samuel as a child is the subject of much prayer. For this child I prayed. And that's an encouragement if it's the grandchildren. Or however we may describe the relationship. Let us make the children the subject of our prayers. Maybe we have to get fresh resolve about that, fresh vision about that. Because these are exceedingly evil days. We say, God, have mercy on the wee children. For this child, I prayed. My petition is, Lord, hear our petition this night. There's the child in your heart, the child still you're thinking about just now. And you have prayed already, of course, but is the Lord not saying, let us renew with vigor our prayerful interest? Let us ask the Lord afresh, Lord, I need help in this matter. For this child I prayed. Samuel is the subject of much prayer as a child. Oh, isn't that powerful? And number two, by chapter 3, verse 17, God is speaking to the child. He was calling, we saw it, time after time. The Lord said, Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. And because of a mother's prayers for this child I prayed, I'm saying, God's now speaking to the child. The thing follows in order. You praying for the child, and then God in turn responding to that prayer is speaking to the child. Nothing happens by accident. Each thing is linked on to the preceding. You've prayed and you earnestly pray. You'll pray now. You'll pray now with new interest and new attention. And the Lord will speak in answer to that prayer. The Lord speaking to the child in chapter 3. And then furthermore, verse 8 of the chapter. Link the three things together. First of all, for this child I pray. Prayer for the child. And secondly, the Lord speaking. The Lord taking up the prayer and speaking to that child by name. My heart is stirred with that. There's fresh encouragement to pray for the child. Pray for the child by name. You can do that with the greatest of ease. Oh, the name just comes readily to your lips. That the Lord might be speaking to the child. But this chapter 3 shows that God certainly can speak to the children. And right along, she prayed, God spoke in answer to that prayer. And thirdly, verse 8, it was perceived that the Lord had spoken to the child. And that's exceedingly important also, to have prayer for the child, to have God speaking to the child in answer to that prayer, and then way beyond that again, for somebody else to perceive the Lord's working in that child's life. That other person could be you or your friend. It doesn't really matter who it is. You saw how, as a child, he was in favour with God and with man. That's another token of the same kind. People noticed. They noticed God's hand in his life. It was perceived. Eli, for all that might be said of him,
He perceived God was working in this child's life.
And we come to this verse 17 tonight. The question Eli put to Samuel, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? In the Hebrew Bible, it is, what is the word? What is the word the Lord has given to you? And word and thing mean the same. You could say of your friend, oh, there was a conversation. And do you know, maybe it was a lady this time or a man. He didn't say a thing. That would ordinarily be your way of reporting on it. Didn't say a thing. And what you meant by that when you used the word thing, it didn't say a word. So we ourselves have the words interchangeably between thing and word. And there's no difficulty with that. But it might help me tonight to put things in the picture to say, what is the word? You've been reading your Bible, you've been praying. Have you got a word from the Lord? How long has it been since the Lord spoke tenderly, powerfully to your soul? What is that word the Lord has given you? Eli knew the Lord had spoken to the child. And when you look at verse 1 of chapter 3, this is important. The Holy Spirit of God makes reference to the time. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. And again, verse 2, it came to pass. What is it? Verse 2. It came to pass at that time. Why does the Lord suddenly say, in those days and at that time? He asked the question, if the Holy Spirit makes a reference to time somewhere in the Bible, you ought to inquire about that. Because the Lord has a purpose in suggesting to you, now think of the time all this happened. In those days, what days? Well, very quickly, in Judges chapter 21 and verse 25, I quoted it on the Lord's Day in the book of Judges, and chapter 21 and verse 25. I know the verse off by heart, but it's good just the same to read it. In those days, again, the reference to time, those days, speaking of the period in the same language, the same way, those days. So there are certain days here. In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So in those days, there was no open vision, and the word of the Lord was precious. That is to say, it just wasn't the thing for the Lord to speak to anybody. You could nearly suggest there was no such thing as the Lord speaking to people. But that makes chapter 3 exceedingly important. To find the Lord speaking to a child when at the time, in those days, the Lord wasn't speaking to anybody. It was a rare thing. That's what the word precious means here. A rare thing. We have read of some of these wealthy people. Maybe some fellow buying a lady in his life a ring worth £750,000. I don't know what it would look like. Well, I could say, if that lady lived in this road here, Victoria Road, I could say, right, maybe she'll let you see the ring tonight. £750,000. Maybe she'll let you see the... Ordinarily, it wouldn't be a chance. But she might just let you, for the illustration, see this ring. And you could say, oh, that's precious. That's precious.
But you could also say with equal entitlement, that's rare, because I would be safe enough saying no other woman on Victoria Road has a ring worth 750,000. It's a rare thing. And you put the two words together, precious and rare. And it just wasn't to be. There was no such thing as the Lord speaking to people. Back there in chapter 3. That's why the Lord said in those days and at that time it was a thing which was not heard of, that the Lord would actually speak to some individual, never mind a child. God can do things we don't expect him to do. The Lord can be speaking even though everybody says, no, the Lord's not working these days. He's not speaking through his word. He's not using his word. We could easily say, we're living men and women in times very like those in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 12, those times, that time, 1 Samuel 2 and 12, the people in charge of God's work, Eli's sons, were children of Belial and didn't know the Lord. It was dreadful. The nation being led by wicked people. There are people in high places tonight. We wonder how they ever got to have a voice in society. The things they're saying, the laws they're trying to establish, the wickedness that they're supporting. In Samuel's day, children of Belial, the devil's agents. And then further down in that chapter, verse 17? Just give me a moment here. Yes, verse 17 of chapter 2. In those days and at that time, people just did whatever they liked. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. The Bible didn't matter. And in those days, we had wicked people in society. And God's people didn't have a look at them. And then verse 17 of chapter 2, people just stayed away from the house of God. They gave up on the offering. They abhorred the offering of the Lord. They stayed away in those days. It just wasn't the thing for God to speak to anybody. Do you see how bleak the picture is? Do you see how if there had been a praying soul nearby and it had said, don't expect the Lord to work, don't expect the Lord to speak, there would be no such thing. God's sovereign, and the Lord did speak. He spoke to Samuel. In Samuel's day, they didn't have the whole Bible the way we have. And in our time, the Lord expects us to use his word and refer to that word. And that's how the question came about. What is the thing that the Lord has said unto you? Are you in touch with God? And in this very evil day, our days are a match. They correspond so closely with what we've got here in 1 Samuel, in the lifetime of that wee fellow. What is the thing that the Lord has said to you? Now, Eli gave this little boy instruction. And I'm looking here in verse 9. Eli had wonderful advice. He might have been backslidden. He might have lost communication with God. We just went through details last night. And I tell you something. This is a wonderful prayer. It's one of the best prayers in the Bible. We may say Eli fell short of the mark, but we must say this is a powerful prayer to give to a child. The like of it. Am I allowed to say the leg of it you have nowhere else in the Bible. It's one of the best pieces of instruction about prayer. If somebody newly saved say, I don't know how to pray, I can say, here's a choice prayer for you. That you take the Bible, open up the Gospels, read the book of Acts. Just start there, Matthew, and go on to Mark and to Luke and to John. Start reading your Bible again and remember this prayer, a beautiful little prayer, so simple that a child has grasped it and a child can use it and you can use it. Speak, Lord. Ah, didn't we sing tonight from that hymn so appropriately worded? Speak to me by name, O Master. That's what happened here, Samuel. God puts your name in the message. When he gives it, he puts your name in the message. And he's calling you by name tonight. Let me know, the hymn said. Let me know what it is to me. Speak that I may follow after and faster, with a step more firm and free, where the shepherd leads the flock in the shadow of the rock. Ah, it said, Master, speak, though least and lowest. Let me not unheard depart. Heed the yearning of my heart, it says. And the last verse, speak and make me ready when thy voice is truly heard. And grant that with obedience, glad and steady, still to follow every word, every word. It's a great prayer. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And we may be recipients of that prayer. And Eli instructed Samuel, that's the prayer, son. That's the prayer for you. And it's one of the greatest prayers in the Bible. You'll go home tonight with that prayer. You may say, oh, I didn't know how to pray really before this, but I've got a great prayer now. Speak, Lord. You're reading the Bible, speak, Lord. But don't forget it tomorrow. Don't forget it next week. Don't forget it the week after that. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. You'll see there that some things are tied into the prayer. Speak, Lord. I'm waiting, Lord. And not only so, but I'm thy servant. You'll have to be prepared to do something. It'll be a simple thing. You don't have to do something absolutely marvelous. Even a simple thing done for the Lord. Thy servant heareth. Now, in the Bible, the word heareth equally means to listen. And there are some who just have a hard time listening. When I was much younger, just starting out in Lisburn, I was visiting in a home one day, remember it still. And the lady I was speaking to, she had a daughter. This wee girl, oh, I don't know what age she was. She might have been 9. Old enough to have sense. But she was obstreperous. She was badly behaved. And she was going to interrupt the conversation I was having with her mother. I was there to read the scriptures, to talk to the mother about the Lord. And this girl, old enough to have sense, was misbehaving. And mother's tried to restrain her, but she had no control. And the girl went over to the door leading to the porch, and from the porch it was to the street. And she stood in the doorway, the door open, and there she was standing on the threshold. And mother was disturbed. This was causing distraction. Mother was disturbed. She said, naming her, just go on, dear, and close the door and go on. But she said, no, no, I won't. Well then, mother said, come on in and close the door. No, I won't. And then they're going to go out. Now, is she going to come in? My father had a wonderful way to deal with that sort of thing. And it was very effective as well. See, she wasn't listening. To hear in scripture means to listen. We have a hymn there, I am listening, Lord, for thee.
What hast thou to say to me? You've heard the Lord speak many a time inside these four walls, oh, many a time. But I say you heard the Lord speak, but did you listen? I can't answer that for you. It's relevant. Did you listen? And it also means to obey. Thy servant heareth means, Lord, I'm going to listen to what you say. And not only so, but I'm going to obey, Lord. I'm going to do what you say. And I'll go where you want me to go. And we'll see how Samuel, as a much older person, tomorrow night, that's his ground of operation. I've got to go there. And I have things to say and things to do. Just what he wants me. I don't want to do it. But if the Lord wants me to go, I'll go. That's the way he started. Thy servant heareth. And when he got to pray, whether it was excitement, the boy was smart. What happened to him in verse 10? But he left a word out. You see, a disastrous omission. And still the Lord pardoned him for all that. What did he leave out in the prayer? And Eli had instructed them so well. Beautiful prayer. You go home with that prayer tonight and let it be written in your heart. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And that wee boy just missed a word. What did he leave out? He left the Lord out. And that's the worst thing you can do. An ungodly person who prays, and Samuel as yet doesn't know the Lord. It's no surprise, in a way, that he leaves the Lord out, because as yet he doesn't know the Lord. If an ungodly person starts to pray, they cover all sorts of things in the prayer, they leave the Lord out. And they certainly do not say, speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening, and I'm waiting for you, Lord, to give me the word, and I'll obey it. I'll do it. There it is. And the striking thing is, although Eli gave Samuel that prayer, oh, what a word of instruction it is. Here is a staggering thing. That Eli never prayed that prayer himself. What do you make of that? It was the time when Eli might have thought, I can do well too. I can get in on the blessing Samuel has. And I will say myself, I'm the high priest. I will say to him, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I never got around to it. I have to just bring you to this now. Here's something interesting. Eli was there when God was speaking that night. But Eli never heard one word of what God said that very night. We're not to imagine that we're all alike. For example, Samuel hears the voice, but he hasn't got the sense to know that God's speaking to him. He doesn't know the Lord speaking. Don't always imagine, oh, if God speaks to me, I'm going to know about it right away. That doesn't necessarily follow. And Samuel is here, God speaking to him, no question. But Samuel doesn't know God speaking to him. But Eli knows. You can see a difference between the two of them. They complement one another. And our prayer, therefore, would be tonight, surely summing up this passage, Lord, give me the ears of Samuel to be the first to hear when the Lord starts to work, when the Lord's speaking. But give me the mind of Eli to catch it on, to be able to discern that the Lord is speaking and immediately respond to it. Let me be quick. The way Eli was. Eli perceived. That's the Lord. Eli had sense enough to say, I can perceive the Lord's hand in this. The Lord's working. It's not the time for the Lord to work. Nobody hears a word from God these days. But now God is speaking. And my prayer is tonight, save me, Lord, from being like Eli. To be there, to be present when God is speaking. And I'm left out. Passed over at that vital moment. That's tragedy. That Eli was there when God was speaking and he never heard one word of it. Fancy this meeting tonight. Supposing God just singled out a man or a woman here and started to work a dynamic power in that person's life. Supposing just a few yards from where you are and you didn't have one emotion. There was no impact to you. How would it feel? You know, God has been working in Michael and that person's life, and it just seems he has passed me by. And so I would say, Lord, save me from being like Eli. To be present while God is speaking, and yet to be left out and passed over altogether at that vital moment. On the other hand, save me, Lord, from being like Samuel. Hearing the voice of the Lord and hearing it again and again and still not recognizing it's the Lord at work. Could we miss it? Could it be the Lord has been dealing with you already in this series of meetings and you haven't sensed it? You haven't got a hold of it somehow? And you missed it. It's just striking to see that it's the combination of the two. To be like Samuel and hear the voice of the Lord, but then with Eli's sense, his greater sense that the child didn't have. Old Eli knew when the Lord was working, he knew when God was speaking, and he said, that's the Lord. We thank the Lord for that. Then Samuel was asked, what is the thing the Lord said to you? You see how the child remembered it. Somebody say, oh, he's only a child. How can a child remember? Oh, but listen, this, the child here, when the Lord spoke to him, even though he wasn't fully in on the picture, Samuel got the hold of it. It says, I like the way it's put in our authorized version. I'm glad we have the authorized version. It says, he told him every whit. That's dramatic. When he said, tell me what it is the Lord said to you next morning. He didn't say, oh, the Lord said something or other, scratching his head. I don't know what it was. He said, it says here, he remembered it. A child can remember the word better than you can, probably. And yet people say, oh, he's only a child. Well, he is only a child. But if the Lord speaks to him, he can get the hold of it. He told him every whit. He didn't miss a detail. The next day, Samuel put it off. He didn't want to talk to Eli. This is the question he didn't want to hear. He could feel it in his bones. It's coming. He's going to ask me. I don't want to hear the question. But the question came. He worked at the doors. He took his time. I think he lingered there, hoping people would get sick. He spent time fiddling around with the doors, getting the doors opened, until Eli heard that voice. Samuel, what was the thing the Lord said to you last night? All of us men and women, the day comes when we have to give account of the word we've heard. Preacher has to give account of every word. I said one time to a minister, I have to think about the message I'm preaching.
And I would rather, if I have to be chastened by the Lord on that great day, I would rather be chastened for believing too much of the Bible than for believing too little. He wasn't very well pleased with that. Well, that's the truth. I would rather be chastened for believing too much about the Bible than for believing too little of it. Samuel was careful not to leave one thing out when he was delivering the word of the Lord. You see that? He missed it in the prayer, true enough, but he never missed it in the repetition. He told them every whit. I think of my ministry. I have to pray, and I do pray gladly when I have the presence of mind to do it. I say, Lord, give me thy word this hour. Give me, Lord, that word from thyself. And I don't want to leave one thing out that is important to the salvation of the soul. Some friends of mine went to a funeral. They said, oh, the man preaching, he wasn't from our church, but from another denomination. And they said, oh, he was a good man. I think he saved all right. And he brought the gospel in, but he just went so far, you see. And when the time came for him to break the news to the sinner, apply the word to the heart with an interest in the soul's salvation, he stopped short of that. He just didn't give that part as a message. Now those dear folks noticed it. How near he came. Right up to the very point where the next paragraph would involve him and say, now this is the way of salvation. You're either saved or you're not. You either belong to the Lord or you belong to the world. You're either on the road to heaven or you're on the road to perdition. What is it? I don't want to leave one thing out. Because all of us have to account. You were there at those meetings in Victoria Road back there in May 2023. What was the thing the Lord said to you then? Would the Lord have to say that to me? There's a verse I'd like to leave with you in closing. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. It's a little word for you to take home with you. I read, it might have been a year ago, might have been 6 months ago. When you get older, your brain starts to shrink. What a horrible thought. I can't afford for my brain to shrink. I have enough difficulty with the brain I have without it shrinking away. But long before now, I noticed that some folks just couldn't see things so clearly or remember things. And I made it a point, this is years ago, I can't put a date on it. Could it be 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I started praying, Lord, keep my mind. The thought has arisen, how many Christians have ever asked the Lord to keep their mind? Maybe the Christian people take it for granted that they don't have to pray about that. They're asking the Lord, or they're thinking the Lord will do things for them they never pray about. Now look at our verse here in Philippians 4. Be careful, be full of care for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Are you worried tonight about something? But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Don't forget the thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Tell the Lord about it. This is a lovely verse for you tonight to take home. And then in verse 7, the peace of God will come in. The thing you're worrying about, distressed about. You could be so bad in this respect, it's nearly driving you out of your mind. And then the peace of God comes in, which passes all understanding. And Hannah got that peace So immediately her face was changed, and the burden was lifted, and she went away. She knew God had settled the matter. The peace of God which passes all understanding. Notice the next wee bit. To keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. The Lord knows all about this, but I'm telling the Lord again, Lord, I need you to keep my heart in the right place. Keep my heart, Lord. But also my mind. Keep my mind clear about the Scriptures. Isn't that a verse you can take home? What does this thing tell me that the Lord has said to you? Amen.